Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast. I'm Boyd Hilton. I am joined as ever in our weekly look at the world of television and pop culture, but really television.
It's always television. Let's just stop saying it's anything else. When was the last time we looked at anything pop culture? When?
Already interrupted by that's the voice.
But honestly, when? Come on.
This now is the voice of Stephanie L. Seelan.
What's the L for? Lunatic.
Lovely.
You've brought that around.
Do you know what? This is a change of tack.
Yeah, it
and
really is.
K.S. Ribeiro is here as well.
Sensational.
Special.
Special.
In a good way.
Special K. I'll take
Special
that.
Special K.
Special K. Do you ever get called that
at
school?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh.
Did you ever eat Special K?
No, not so much.
I did, because you remember that lady's, the K was like the woman's legs
the
running.
Red legs. Yeah.
You know it changed, Special K.
Did it?
You don't remember. Back in the day, the original Special K was a kind of small, little crinkly cereal. Little, do you remember?
Oh, a bit shriveled up. Like.
Shriveled up. And then suddenly, a few years ago, it became like a flakes thing. And they're now quite bigger flakes.
I'm going to be honest, right?
You know I'm right.
Also, I just never knew that you'd be a Special K expert.
But I've got a question. I've got a question for you then. Do you remember the cereal Start?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God, I used to love that. So it was like little triangle things.
Yeah.
Where's that now?
You know the cereal they don't make anymore because it's too sugary?
What?
Ricicles.
You are joking, the spaceship ones.
I used to love Ricicles when I was growing up. It's literally sugar.
Oh my God, Ricicles were the best because it was the little guy in the red and yellow.
Can I just say, John Dan, producer, editor, guru, is shaking his head.
I love Ricicles.
Although, if any cereal brands want to sponsor us, guys, get in touch.
Well, for
just one quick thing on Ricicles. When did they stop doing Ricicles? Can you still get them in the variety packs?
I'm going to say about 5 years ago. No, you don't get them in the variety packs now either. It's really sad. Yeah,
they were incredibly unhealthy.
That is sad. We're starting on a really sad note.
Yeah. More importantly, today we are reviewing, it could have been a comedy special. At one point it was looking like a comedy special, then I ran out, I've only got two comedies out.
Oh, it's very much not a comedy
special.
There are
two-thirds of these are comedies, though.
Okay.
What do you mean? Two-thirds are comedies.
Yeah,
two out of the three slices of meat. They're Hang-Ups is the new comedy series co-created by Stephen Mangan. It's going to be on Channel 4.
He's such a busy chap.
He's a busy fellow.
He really is. He's really everything.
That's one of the shows we're reviewing. Judge Ramesh, as in Ramesh Ranganathan, Kay's favourite.
Yep.
We're going to review that. That's the second show of his that we've been reviewing. I'd say
there's not enough.
There's 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
There's not enough of Judge
Ramesh. No, and he's got more coming out later this year as well.
Good, good, good.
The year of Ramesh.
Ramesh's time.
Catchy.
Yeah. That's the title of his next TV special. Ramesh's time. He just didn't know that. And finally, the non-comedy, very much not a comedy in any way whatsoever, Blackfly Season, which is starting on BBC4 on Saturday.
Blackfly Season.
At 9 o'clock. It's the new BBC4 Saturday night foreign drama. However, Steph must have been thrilled because even though this is foreign, it's Canadian and it's in the English language.
It's not a read, honestly. I pressed play and I was like, oh,
interesting
God.
Fact about the show, though? Do you know one interesting fact about it before we get to the film?
Yeah, I do.
They film it in Canadian and French Canadian as well. Like Welsh shows.
Oh, like Keeping Faith.
Yeah, which is why I kind of thought it might have been with subtitles in French, but it's not. They film it in English language and French, yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Maybe some French subtitles will come up at some point.
I don't think so.
God.
That wouldn't make any sense. And before all of that, though, of course, it's time for what we've all been watching. Steph's...
I'm hardly doing anything this week. I'm hardly doing anything. It is just, and I'm going to whiz through them so quickly.
But in your terms, though, hardly doing anything.
Honestly, I'm going to whiz through the 35 suggestions.
It's so quick.
Okay, get the counter
quick.
Ready.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Okay. Firstly, are you all
Number
watching
one.
The Unforgotten?
Cool. Yes.
So we previewed this. Mm-hmm. I have watched ahead.
It's just called Unforgotten, by the way, not The Unforgotten. Just want to.
Is it?
Yeah. Just Unforgotten. Just one word. And I don't like to be picky.
Let's not get hung up.
To be picky. It's just called Unforgotten. Yes, I'm sure. I'll prove it to you. Carry on.
Okay. Unforgotten. What's The Unforgotten then? Is it anything?
I think there was a film.
Yeah.
The
Unforgiven.
Film? Unforgiven.
No, that's also not that was, the.
Yeah, no.
That's also Unforgiven.
No, yeah.
Why
Maybe there was nothing
I...
called the.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
How far are you in it?
I am 4 deep.
Ooh. I'm 3.
Are you?
Yeah.
Now. In case you didn't listen to every single podcast that we've done and know that we reviewed it,
why not?
It's the same kind of format all the way through, that a body is found and then a collection of people are introduced and they are somehow interlinked with the murder of whoever's body has been found.
All right. Gordon,
okay, it's unforgotten. All right. Are you happy?
Just proving.
Now?
Well, I just know. The thing I'm picking out. Unbelievable. But Kay's getting angry that I'm being picky. Carry on.
Right, I'm not. Okay. Oh, that again is just my face.
That is just her face, Boyd. Okay, so this time a woman has turned up in the tarmac when they're building a new road. Unfortunate. what? That is unfortunate. And
don't make me laugh, and then I look
not
like
not the
bastard.
Unfortunate, just unfortunate. Unfortunate.
And it turns out that she is a twin and she's been missing for a very long time, presumed deceased, which she indeed is. And then they find out that a load of people who stayed at a house together, she perhaps did a bit of cleaning for them. Anyway, it's all coming together.
Twin, can I just say, sorry to interrupt again, twin played by Bronagh War.
Who's a non-twin.
Yeah, twin played by, who of Hollyoaks, etc. fame and
The Fall.
Who I did a great radio, I'm not saying I was great, but I did a radio show with her last week on Five Live where we had a discussion, a half hour discussion about women on television.
Oh, yeah.
And she was
being
brilliant.
Victims or?
No, just generally that, you know, why aren't there no more women in front of camera, directors, etc.
She's great, isn't
writers.
She?
And she's brilliant. She's a real advocate for, you know, women on screen.
Well, so
and
she should
screen.
Be.
But no, but some people aren't, you know.
She likes the girls.
She's an activist in that sense, and she was great. And we also had the woman from the brilliant Derry Girls as well.
Oh, Nicola
Coughlan.
Oh, she is so good.
So I was on the radio with these two brilliantly talented
powerhouse.
I
love her.
They're both brilliant, yeah. Anyway, carry on.
What's the situation with Derry Girls?
They're making a new series soon. Yeah. No, she's filming it soon.
She tweeted us, The Unmissables, when we complimented the show.
She is fantastic. She is incredibly
funny. Boy just headbutted the mic.
I did headbutt the microphone with my glasses.
Safety first,
so, carry on.
So can I just say, for that,
as I always say, you can say whatever you like.
Well, I'm just going to mention that if you've started Unforgotten and you feel like a certain mother of mine, like she literally said to me, is it just the same? Are they just going to find a body and it's just going to be a collection
of
people?
You mean your mother?
My actual mother.
A certain mother of mine.
A certain mother of mine.
How many mothers have you got?
Well, I don't know. But just definitely this one that I'm aware of.
Right.
Right. And she was like, is it the same? I've just got her to start watching the series. So she watched the last two and she was like, oh, I don't think I'm going to bother if it's just the same format. And I was like, that's the whole point of it. If you are slightly bored with the format, episode 4, let me just say, is a huge, huge twist. So if you are in some way bored with the format, please don't be stupid. Don't be silly like Sally, okay?
Silly
Sally. It
gets
really, really, really good.
Are you calling your own mum stupid?
In the knowledge that she doesn't listen to this.
She doesn't listen.
I'm giving
listen.
You the chance to read.
As I've told you, she doesn't listen because she said to me, I don't know what time it's on.
<That's>
I've told
good.
You that.
Old chestnut.
I don't know what time it's on.
Yeah.
Classic Sally.
Did you think it's a blog? Someone was saying the other day on a podcast that they were trying to... I mean, it was Simon Mayer wrote in the Radio Times about his mum was confused between a blog and a podcast.
Oh, God.
Great.
Oh, me and Simon, honestly. Yeah. Right. Podcast. So, talking of podcasts, newly launched podcast... Brett Goldstein, Films to Be Buried With.
Oh, yeah.
Have we all listened
She's
to this?
Done us here.
This is absolutely...
I've seen it advertised, I haven't listened to it yet.
Fantastic. Okay, so there's only two out at the moment. So it's basically a podcast where he talks to various people about how they'd like to die, and then they talk through all their favourite films and basically films to be buried with. It's really funny. Please do not be put off by the first episode, which is with James Acaster. And it's just because it's... He records it in his kitchen, so the sound's a bit strange. Have you listened to it, Boyd?
No, I haven't.
Right, okay, so the sound is a bit strange. Don't be put off
by
that.
You should have got John Dan in.
John Dan, have you listened to it?
He was recommending it. I think he works on it.
Do you?
Kind of.
Hold on.
He's not in charge of the audio.
Moonlighting cannot be accepted on this podcast. John Dan has to make his decisions right now who he stands with.
It could have been in his kitchen. I don't know. Anyway, who knows? But it's very,
John Dan's
very
funny.
John
Dan's just made a note to edit all that out.
If you love just reminiscing about great films, you'll absolutely love this podcast. So James Acaster is the first one, and they've also got Catherine Ryan, and that's the second one. But they're going to have Aisling B and Nish Kumar and someone else who I can't remember. But it's really, really good. You'll enjoy it.
They're comedians, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all comedians. It's not as good as this podcast, but it's average.
When you say it's not as good as this podcast, is it really? Is it better, maybe?
Boyd!
What?
Boyd, you are really... You have set
You are on the road to buy us another Pat Val. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to send a Pat Val cake to some of our... We'll get to that tweet and tweets and stuff.
Yeah.
Tweets, cakes and stuff, as it's now known.
Now, the other things I wanted to mention were...
So this is number three.
We talked about this morning, Boyd, they are making a Deadwood film,
yes.
Okay? Now,
as featured in Heat's TV news section.
Indeed. Now, I just want to tell people that if you are not familiar with Deadwood, the TV series, you can watch it all on Amazon Prime. And I loved this series so much. It's got, you'll love it, it's got Lovejoy in it.
Ooh, Ian McShane.
Lovejoy. Yeah, no, actually.
It would be brilliant. Do you know what? I'd love it if the character of Lovejoy was pulled back to appear in Deadwood somehow.
Oh, how fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
Has he got a leather jacket?
He does have kind of, he has a waistcoat.
Yeah, leather waistcoat.
Yeah, yeah, he does have a waistcoat. Mm. It's really, really good. Have you watched Deadwood? Did you watch Deadwood with the series on?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yes.
It's got, do you know who's in it? You know in that thing with Liev Schreiber, which I can't recall the name of?
Oh,
Ray Donovan.
Ray Donovan. You know his wife?
Yeah, I love her.
She's in Deadwood.
All right.
She was in it years ago.
I'm penciling that down.
And also that nice woman from Lost in Space. The woman who plays the wife in Lost in Space, she's in Deadwood. And finally, two last things. I just want to mention that I've started watching.
Four and five.
Mm. I've started watching Lucky Man, because on the sky.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Stan Lee.
Yeah, Stan Lee's Lucky Man.
I deliberately didn't pick it for us to do as a bit meat, as a review meat bit.
Why?
When it started. Because I thought we might have done it before, and Kay has a thing about us doing the same show.
Yeah, she's a real stickler
for that. Series
1
to 2. And B, because I'm not a huge fan of it, to be brutally honest.
Me too.
I can...
Neither am I. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's one of those shows that I've kind of seen on and thought, oh, no.
Yeah.
But once I watched kind of two episodes in a row, I actually really quite like it.
Okay. So are you on the new series or have you gone back to the beginning? So this is season three.
I'm on season three. Oh, okay. I'm on season three. Yeah, so the whole premise is that James Nesbitt is a serial gambler and he has this bracelet put on him.
Yeah.
A cuff that's put on him, which means that he has got a huge amount of luck, but equally somebody has to have
every
bad
time
luck.
Every time he has good luck, something happens to someone he loves.
I think it's really good.
Yeah. Stan Lee's Lucky Man. He came up with the concept.
Yeah, I like it. And then I'm just going to let you know, this is finally.
Okay,
there is just two things.
Okay, five.
You're
six.
Watching
okay.
Power.
I think okay. we need to relook at what you think the word finally means.
I've said this. I've done this all in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm. No, this is great.
A big thing has happened in Power, okay?
Oh, Power, yeah. With Fiddy scent.
Oh, Fiddy. I think he's doing some bad dealings in Power. But anyway.
His character.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's legally say that.
Yeah. Basically, the bad guy Ghost and Angela, the cop.
Bad guy Ghost.
Yeah. The bad guy. His name is Ghost.
Oh, fine. I thought you meant the bad guy Ghost. No.
The bad guy's name is Ghost. And Angela, they have not seen each other for a series and a half, okay? They were lovers, okay? And then she didn't realise she was hunting him. Do you remember I told you the premise of it last
week? Absolutely. Remember everything you said last week?
Spoiler. They've had a meeting. I'll just leave it there.
They've had a meeting?
They've had a meeting. That's a big deal for people. That is a big deal for people who care about Power. And then this really is lastly, I've gone back to Billions and I'm watching it from the beginning and I've decided it is good.
You seem to have graduated from your Netflix obsession to a new Sky obsession. Have you got a new Sky or something?
And Amazon Prime.
Have you had Sky Q installed or something?
I've already had Sky Q.
And Lucky Man. Yeah. I think something else you mentioned are all on Sky.
On Sky.
The Worm has turned.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just feel, do you know what this hasn't, I have to say, there hasn't been like loads of great new stuff on Netflix, I didn't think.
You can say it.
I just have, there's not been a really amazing new series or anything for a while.
Devastating.
Blimey. Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
Short list?
Shorter than
it was
some.
Short.
Yeah.
It was concise.
I mean, was it
was
seven
concise.
And eight? Seven, eight?
Hold on. One, two, five.
Six.
John Dan says six. We've got to go with the adjudicator.
Yeah.
Unforgotten, John C. Brady, Deadwood, Lucky Matt Power. Oh, I do go on, don't I? Right, I'm going to be quiet now.
Well, listen, I'm going to balance it out because I haven't got a lot to tell you about because I've been watching Love Island and Love Island has taken up a lot of my time.
Get a life.
I mean,
and, well, the final happened.
You've let yourself down.
The final happened
down,
last night, so it's over
down.
For me. So,
but you, okay, what do you, well, we're recording this on Friday. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Who do you think won?
She just said, wait a minute, she just pretended that the final had been on last night. Now you've ruined that by asking...
The illusion, but I'm happy to answer the question.
I don't want to lie to the pogs.
Transparent. Right. So when this comes out on Tuesday, the final will have happened.
I wasn't pretending it was Monday. I was just saying the final will have happened yesterday.
I thought you said the final has happened. I thought you were pretending. Oh,
God,
okay.
Isn't he pernickety today?
Yeah.
There you
are. Sorry, apologies.
No, it's fine. If everything goes to plan, Jack and Danny.
Janny
should absolutely walk it. That's Danny Dyer's daughter.
Danny Dyer's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Also called
Danny. Did you know that, I'm sure you do know, grandmother suck eggs, etc. But did you know that the rough estimate of how much the winner of Love Island can earn, will earn, in the next year?
No, I don't know that.
You're coming with all the facts.
It was
today.
On the radio this morning. It was on Five Live this morning. They had someone. So what they did was they said, they put out the question, compare what the winners of Love Island are expected to earn in the first year of winning Love Island compared to what the earnings of someone who's just graduated from university would be.
Right,
so basically the earnings of graduating from university are something like, you know, £30,000.
Is it?
If you're lucky. I mean, you know.
If you're very lucky.
Love Island, it's going to be £1.5 million. Yeah.
What is the...
Yeah, then put it into context of a footballer a year.
Why are you being? Why are you offended by this? It's not. It's not.
I thought you.
No, I know. It's an unusual thing to be offended
by. I'm not having a go. It's a weird thing.
I thought it was a new way of slagging off Love Island.
No, not at all. Oh, no, it's just factually interesting.
Okay, yeah,
they're going to earn £1 million and a half.
I take it back
out of it, which is incredible, isn't it?
People, I mean, it's a sad indictment. It is a sad indictment about our education system.
I don't think it's a sad indictment.
I think it is.
No, not at all.
You can go on Love Island and earn £1.1 million in a year, or you can go to university.
Yeah, but. Pretty much anyone can go to university.
That is so not true. I hate it when people say anyone can go to university. That is not true.
A lot more people are going to go to university than will appear on Love Island. That's factually true.
And if you have made it into university, well done, because it isn't that easy.
Of course. I'm totally pro-university. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying it's interesting that Love Island is that direct route to vast fortunes for those women.
If we've got any university pogs listening, uni pogs, get in touch. Let us know.
You pogs.
And of course, the difference is now, it's only Love Island is the only reality show. I mean, because I'm assuming it doesn't really count because they're already famous and they're already being paid a lot to be in it. But if you're talking about a reality show featuring normal people, you know.
Pogs.
People, exactly, pogs.
A pog reality show.
It's the only one where you're guaranteed that level, because Big Brother doesn't anymore.
Brother.
No, definitely not. I mean, who can name a recent winner of Big Brother? No one knows from Adam.
MasterChef.
Whereas,
Bake Off.
I think that's included in the reality. I think they're talking Big Brother, you know, X on the Beach, Geordie Shore, all of those types of shows. Anyway, I've had my say. Carry on.
That was very interesting.
Thanks.
Good fact.
So I've been continuing to watch Sharp Objects with Amy Adams.
Oh,
have you
been watching that yet?
It continues to be good. Boyd, what about you? Have you been watching it?
I watched Seven. We were given on the HBO preview service, we were given access to 7 of the 8 episodes, all
I'm
in one
on
go.
Three.
I watched all 7. I binged on all 7 in the space of about half a day. But now I'm furious because they're not going to give me the finale because they want everyone to watch
finale.
So I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to have to wait effing like 6 weeks or whatever for the finale to be online.
Now you know
live.
How I feel when they don't put all the things out at once.
It's no, I've totally made an irritating rod for my
You've
back.
Done
although
your own
I could.
Legs.
You could ask them.
No. I could read the book. That's one way around it. I haven't read the book.
But ways I'm waiting. Around it.
I think it is the best drama of the year so far.
I find it quite slow, actually.
Oh, well, interestingly, because...
Yeah. Do you know what I have to say? So I'm on episode 3. I just watched 2 yesterday. I found it slow as well.
Oh, God.
But slow to the point that I rewatched the first episode 3 times because I mean, that's weird.
Is it slow or you slow?
I mean, that combination of both of those things. But no, I did find it really
slow. It was so slow you wanted to sit through
you know
the slowness again.
You know
again,
when something's
more
a bit slow and then you go off and do something else and you go, oh, I've got to rewatch it. And then that happened to me 3 times.
You lost concentration, you mean?
Yeah, it's just a bit...
You're getting interrupted by
Liambi
George doing stupid things.
And the dogs...
I think we're
so
quite
hot.
Spoiled in terms of dramas being quite fast. And so when it's slower, then you just kind of...
It is slow.
I don't think... Well, I challenge... I disagree. I think it's deliberately paced, and there's not much incident. It's not like there's action, incidents, and incident. It's creating a mood and an atmosphere, and I think it builds and builds. I think it's completely riveting from start to finish. So that's why I disagree. So I don't think it can be that slow. But I was on the radio again with Emma Bullimore from TV Times, Kay's new friend, and she agreed. She said, "I knew you'd love it." This has all happened on live radio.
Yeah,
so I'm
she
not
sounds
telling
like
tales
a girl we'd like.
She was like, "Yeah, I knew you'd love it." To me. And she thought it was, I think she was sort of boring.
I don't think riveting
is,
I don't think riveting, it's not riveting.
It's riveting.
Riveting is something you would say about something that was a bit more fast-paced. Riveting.
No, that's the point I'm making. It doesn't need to be fast-paced to be riveting.
It definitely sets the mood.
No, you're wrong. Because 2001 A Space Odyssey is one of the greatest films of all time. That is really slow. There's a huge chunk of 2001 in the middle. It's about 45 minutes on a space station where nothing happens. Riveting. Okay.
I just really think we need to talk about the word riveting.
All right, well, I've been watching Sharp Objects, and and I've also been furiously listening to The Teacher's Pet, and I've galloped through that, and I've just got episode 11 now.
You have started such a thing in the office. Everyone is listening to that now. I'm on 9.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
is it Yeah. Does it get even better?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Even Boyd's watching it, but Boyd has a bit of a problem with it, don't you, Boyd?
I'm not watching it because it's a podcast, but...
Oh, God. Do you know what, Boyd? You are
I really think you need to be less of Peter Pedant today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No one likes you today.
No one likes it.
Any hands up who likes Boyd today? Oh, no hands.
I apologise for correcting wrong facts.
Yeah, I'm conflicted, actually, because I'm saying you're a pedant, but I do like to be factually accurate.
Yeah, I think Kay's just trying to gang up on me as usual.
You're listening to it, but you have a problem.
I'm not even
going to
express my reservation about it because you're both so furious with me when we discussed it outside of the podcast in real life that I can't even begin to
express
my... Go
on, our fury has subsided.
I've thought about it and I take your point.
I'm up to like four or five now and I think it's very good. It's an incredible story and I'm fascinated, of course, fascinated by it. All I said was I thought episode two in particular, but a little bit episode three as well, it suffers a bit from over-length. And I think you know, if you compare it to the serials, the huge classic true crime podcasts,
yes,
which are kind of brilliantly put together, almost too slick for their own good, I would say, actually, funnily enough, sometimes. Oh. Like, the storytelling is so precise.
No pleasing sound.
I know.
So what I think about this one is, like, the second episode where he was establishing what it was like at the school where everyone was having affairs with...
Maybe we should just quickly say this is a story about a man called Chris Dawson whose wife, Lynn Dawson, went missing one day, and some people believe that he killed her to move in his young lover, who was a 15-year-old girl called Joanne Sims from school. Allegedly,
and she's 16 when she moved.
She was 16 when she moved in.
Be careful.
He's never been convicted,
right.
But allegedly, right. She's under the pool.
Right. So anyway, I just thought it took a long time. It was like 50 minutes establishing what it was like in the school in terms of the teacher sleeping with his pupils, and I think it literally could have been dealt with in about 10 minutes, and I think it would have been in like an equivalent serial. And then the episode three, I thought was interesting again, where it started off by going, right, we're going to hear from the woman, the victim, or who she did, the disappeared woman. And again, that took a long time to get to the point. So I just think, and I don't know whether it's because they feel it has to be, you know, the irony is, of course, Kay thinks every episode of this show is overlong. But, you know, I wonder whether they feel it, because it's a podcast that each episode has to be about 50 minutes just... I just think it's...
Maybe in the same way as Sharp Objects, it's setting the tone and it's, you know...
Strange
you don't
find it riveting.
I know, I am riveted. That's the thing. I do find it riveting.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it could have been much shorter.
Do you know what,
anyway.
Today, Boyd? You've got an answer for everything.
Right. Now, anyway, just to the new thing that I've been watching, and I know you'll probably take the piss out of it.
Oh, God.
Love Your Garden, right? Gives me unbridled joy. Okay, so anyone who doesn't know
she's used the word unbridled.
It makes me so happy.
Let's talk about your unbridled garden.
Yeah. Alan Titchmarsh, it's his show. So if you don't know, episode one's already been on, but you can catch up on that, don't worry.
Fantastic.
It's on Tuesdays, ITV, 8 p.m. It's basically someone who deserves to have their garden made over because they do good things. Alan Titchmarsh and his team come in and do a beautiful makeover.
Force.
Yeah, basically. No, but this one was more like, this was even bigger focus on the fact that the person who is receiving the makeover, garden makeover, is
worthy.
Incredibly worthy of it, yeah. So in the first episode is a 90-year-old lady called Betty.
Oh, Betty.
And she is so cool because she's so active at the age of 90 and she volunteers, she's a do-gooder, she's got macular degenerative...
She's a do-gooder?
She does good deeds. Okay, she does good deeds.
I only recently found out that the word do-gooder is not very...
Yeah, it's a pejorative phrase.
I didn't mean that.
She does good deeds. Yeah. She's got macular degenerative disease, which means that she's losing her eyesight, yet she still does so much for everyone else. She abseiled down this huge tower, like, was it the Southampton Harbour Spinnaker Tower in 2016?
Who hasn't abseiled down?
Don't take the piss out of Betty.
Don't accuse us of taking the piss out of Betty.
We want to hear more about Betty's garden.
Well, yeah, so she's done so much for everyone, but her garden is like a concrete jungle, and she used to love the gardening, but had to stop doing it because she couldn't see very well.
She can abseil, but she can't garden.
Steph's got visual problems. She can't.
She's
90 years old.
Okay, it just seems that's odd that someone would abseil.
Wow. I mean.
Okay, sorry. Okay,
who's
so
being
I apologize.
Picky now and
I
about apologize. A 90 year old hero.
I apologize. She definitely deserves to have her garden done. What did she have done?
Thank God Betty's passed the Steph test.
I'm so sorry. Betty,
I'm not
listening.
Going to tell you any more, Pogs, but if you want to watch it, Love Your Gardens on Tuesdays, ITV, 8 p.m.
What did they do to the garden? Did they dig it up and do some
You can also catch up
pots?
On that first episode with Betty, 90-year-old hero, on ITV Player.
Well, the chilly atmosphere shall warm up. Is that it for your
That's all I have
section?
To say. Move on.
But there's more things you've watched. Are there?
She doesn't want to talk.
Are you cutting yourself short?
I do not want to talk about it.
We've upset her.
This is great.
I've upset
I'm
her.
Upset on behalf of Betty, but anyway.
Right.
What have you been watching, Boyd?
Thanks. I've been watching... Well, we both went to see the screening of Strangers, which is this new ITV drama series created by two new youngsters to the world of TV writing, Mark Denton and Johnny Stockwood.
Welcome.
You may well not have heard of them.
Haven't heard of them.
This is the first thing they've ever done.
Right.
It does star the excellent and indeed very famous John Sim, who is in a lot of ITV dramas, let's face it. Mm. Emilia Fox.
He was in Trauma, wasn't he?
He was in Trauma. Mm. He was most recently reviewed
Mars.
On this very Life on Mars a while ago.
Not
reviewed on this very podcast because it didn't exist. And Emilia Fox of Silent Witness fame and many other things. And it's all about... I was going to say it was embargo, but I don't think it was it? I think we're free to discuss it, I think, pretty much.
Oh, double check that.
I think it's fine.
This is Boyd saying all this, by the way, ITV.
This is me saying this. Mm-hmm. It's a very immediately gripping thriller in which he is living in London. He's a professor living in London. His wife, Megan, played by Dervla Kerwin, who we see the first thing that happens in the whole series, so this isn't giving anything away, is killed in a car crash in Hong Kong. And she seems to spend half her life in Hong Kong, half her life with him back in London. And that's the premise. Mm. And it's immediately, within about 10 minutes, I think I'm right in saying, there's a huge big twist. And it's, I thought it was incredibly gripping. I'm going to use the word riveting again. This is fast moving and riveting. Mm. Did you say what?
Did she have a double life? Was she leading a double life?
I can't even tell you. It's not,
she must be.
I can't say.
She had half a time in Hong Kong.
Stop speaking, Steph. Stop guessing.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, it was really good, and it was very interesting to watch it and see the Q&A afterwards. Mm. Wasn't it, Kate?
And Hong Kong, visually...
Oh, yeah, Hong Kong.
Amazing. So, like, the film there, it's really good.
Like, real-world Blade Runner.
Ooh.
Blade Runner.
You love anything Blade Runner-y.
Oh, yeah, you don't like because it's dystopian.
Okay, let's move on.
Should we talk a bit more about Betty's garden?
I think.
Sorry, Kay. If Betty is listening, and you know, I'm sure she is, I'd like to apologise on behalf of both Boyd and Steph.
I didn't say anything. I was fully supportive of Betty.
You were a little bit snooty magooty as
not
well.
Not at all. Yeah? No. Mm-hmm. No.
Sorry, Betty.
It's a move on.
It. And the only other thing I've watched this week, I watched Ready Player One again. It's on iTunes on Ultra HD, on your 4K Ultra HD, if you've got that facility on your television. And what I wanted to say was that it pays repeat viewings. I enjoyed it very much the first time. Mm. But there's a brilliant documentary in the extra. So if you buy it on the iTunes...
How much is it?
I don't know. I'm going to guess 12 quid. That's a total guess.
12 quid?
I think that's too much?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's really dear.
Okay. It may not be that much. It may be 10 quid.
Okay, I think we should find out. I'm going to have a
go.
Boyd will make up the difference for any pog who's buying it.
Yeah.
I think it should be around
£3.50.
That's
a verbal contract, everyone.
How much do you think it should be?
£3.50.
Okay.
You know, £3.50?
Yeah, but you know, like when you used to go to Blockbuster, you get two films for £3.50. You used to be able to.
Yeah, but I think that's whack.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Yeah, that's given Boyd enough time to look up the price.
The funny thing is, it doesn't give me the price because I've already paid for it, you see.
Oh, right, great. So, and this you've got so much money, it doesn't even matter.
This is the podcast, as gripping as it gets.
Yeah,
it's Kate's having a go.
You know
at me now.
This
if
podcast,
I was very defensive and took things personally, I'd be offended and miserable, but
hey,
I'm fine with
Boyd,
it. You
this,
can say what you like.
This podcast is riveting.
Yeah, it is
riveting.
We
all know it is.
My discussion of Ready Player One is definitely riveting. Anyway, I'm not recommending the film, listeners.
Oh.
And people in this room.
Steven Spielberg will be pleased.
No, the film is good. I've said that. It's the documentary about the making of Ready Player One that's in the extras.
How
when
long
you buy
is
it on iTunes, it's about 50 minutes, 55
Fine.
Minutes.
That's good length.
And it's fascinating because this is one of this is a film, every now and then there's a film that pushes back the boundaries of technology, whether it be Jurassic Park. And Jurassic Park was the first real CGI, you know, you saw these dinosaurs made of CGI.
An excellent
and
film.
It was a game changer.
It was a game changer.
So, they're, you know, 2001, keep going on about it. That was a game changer. God. In a way, Ready Player One is as well. And you almost don't realise until you watch the making of documentary how complicated it was to do what they did in that film. Half the film is in this virtual gaming world and half the film is set in the future, a dystopian future. Of course, you boycotted it. But watching Stevie Spielberg go through the whole process...
She's called him Stevie.
Stevie.
You're not allowed to do that.
Watching him go through the whole process with the actors and the designers and the costume people, it's fascinating. It's brilliant. Honestly, if you're into obviously into the film, but if you're into filmmaking and how it all happens, they just did a diary of the whole process, even like when they're casting him going, oh, what's so-and-so been in? You know, Ty Sheridan, what's Ty Sheridan been in? It's great.
I reckon it's better than the film.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree.
Oh.
It might even be better than the film.
Shock move.
John Dan, what's the time code on this? And he writes down they've agreed for the first time.
Wow.
Yes. So, Ready Player One. I think it'll be on the official. So that, as often happens these days, that digital download on iTunes is available before it's come out on physical DVD, okay. Blu-ray, etc.
Well,
but I'm sure
Pogs,
that making of will be on those formats.
Pogs,
as well.
Be prepared to spend £12, but it could be less. But
yeah.
Boyd can't
That's
be
funny,
bothered
well,
to find out what
the
price is.
It doesn't show me because I've already. Unlike you, I don't illegally download stuff. I pay for it.
Okay, that was a scathing attack on me. It's allegedly illegally done.
Yeah, John Dunn's taught
allegedly.
Us about that word recently.
Yeah. Now we move on to what I like to call tweets and cakes and stuff.
Oh, it's actually known as
the tweets before the meat.
Right.
You can't just make up your own words
for
it,
Boyd. We've had a tweet from @Fenwood. He's our one of our prolific pros.
Phil Henwood.
Yeah.
This is his actual name, yeah.
Yeah, but @Fenwood.
Yeah.
I like to call him Fenwood.
Yeah,
to his friends, Fenwood.
Yeah.
And he said, great show today, guys. Boyd, Jonathan, Hilton, hilarious.
Oh.
I mean, not deliberately.
And he said, Eddie is definitely the best Ed.
Yeah,
from
which
Frasier.
Yeah, suggested that.
Thanks.
Did he say anything nice about Steph?
Yeah. Did he?
Well, it's coming up.
Oh, Phil?
And he said, already halfway through my third listen. Hopefully I'm still your furthest flung pog. Now, I thought Steph was originally the only person to listen to our podcast more than once.
Thank you so much for revealing that, Kay. Unbelievable.
Yeah. How many times she listened to it?
I listened to every podcast 3 times because...
How many times?
Three times.
And she's in the room, so actually technically 4th time.
Okay. I do that because I like to count up the amount of times that Boyd insults me,
mm-hmm.
which was a record all-time high last week. But I also just like to know how we're sounding. We've made no improvements since we started. But I like to just know that we're consistent.
Do you, it's the 3 times, does that represent, do you isolate each of us? Like, the first time you listen, do you listen to yourself?
Yeah.
Second time you listen to Steph, 3rd time you listen to me.
Well, I'm Steph,
I'm Kay.
First time I listen to
what is the matter
senior moment alert.
What's the matter with me? You're the one who just had a meltdown.
Okay, anyway, we're really turning against
each other. The meltdown was off air. Everybody.
Anyway, so Phil Henwood says, to be fair, because I commended him on the fact that there's 3 listens, that's amazing. And he said, to be fair, the first listen was at 5 a.m, so I was in and out of sleep, but no medals needed, just a couriered Pat Val cake will suffice.
Now, I believe he doesn't live in New Zealand.
He does.
So, Kay, you're going to sort that out.
That'd be great to go to New Zealand.
You did suggest I sort it out, and he rightfully said, you can bring it with you when you come to Auckland to record the Admissibles podcast.
Oh, Phil.
That's the second invite we've had for him. It looks rude if we don't go.
He didn't say anything nice about me. What did he say nice about me?
Oh, yeah, sorry, that was on the bit I didn't print out. But anyway, so listen,
Phil,
the other thing...
please tweet something nice about me so I don't feel left out.
Yeah.
Thanks, much love,
Make
Steph.
Sure you get onto that. Yep.
Steph.
Now, the other thing I want to say is, Pogs, we've had a recent yearly AGM.
Annual general meeting, in case you don't know what that means.
Yeah, and we're just discussing some HR issues, which we don't need to go into at the moment. But also, we were looking for...
Look out for an announcement in the next few weeks, guys.
Yeah. But we're looking for some feedback as well, because we're looking at how the podcast is running, anything you love, anything you're not as keen on, maybe constructive criticism. So I was just going to say, if you are one of our super pogs, which we know you are, and you've got any feedback, we'd love to hear about it because we obviously value you a lot. So get in touch, just DM us at Unmissables Pod, and it's a safe space. So I promise none of us will, we won't go on the defensive, and more importantly, it won't be read out. It's just for
Boyd,
us.
I won't go on the defensive. Boyd's looking at me as if she'll go on the defensive. I won't.
What
I
liked about the announcement was
she will, but we'll muzzle her.
In the beginning, it sounded like we'd had an AGM and we'd there'd been like HR concerns. Now we're throwing it over into the listen. So if any of us need to be disciplined for bullying or something, then
any of us, me, are bullied at all by anyone, Boyd, then please do get in touch.
I think we all know who gets bullied on this.
Anyway, so Pogs, get in touch with us.
Yeah, anything you want to say about the podcast. I mean, I am going to make sure it's kept exactly the same for the rest of the time, but equally, I'm happy to listen to any. I'm joking.
He's joshing. He is. I can tell.
Any advice?
Yeah, we will gratefully received.
Is that it for tweets and stuff?
Yeah, that's it.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Oh, why? Do you think there's something else?
No, but just like to make sure the segment is over before we move on to
it's definitely over.
Central segment of the meat.
Right.
the two-thirds comedy special.
Two-thirds comedy special.
Starting with Hang-Ups, a new six-part comedy starring Stephen Mangan as Richard Pitt, a therapist with, it says here, a checkered professional career who finds himself at a crossroads in life. I'm describing this, the plot of this one. You may
it seems like you are.
Because I started and I thought I could at some point hang it over and then I couldn't find a natural break.
No, it
so I'm
look
just going to carry on.
Fine. Got it.
Precipitated by a startling realisation that his life appears to be falling apart. He's a therapist, but he's got his own issues, you see?
Yeah.
He is... Now, this, interestingly, this series is adapted from an American show called Web Therapy. Have you seen that show? It's very much
Phoebe
the kind of thing
Friends.
You would have seen.
Yeah,
it stars
very
Phoebe
good.
Friends, Lisa Kudrow, who she co-created it. But this is kind of a different spin on it. So even though it is adapted from that, and it's like a British version of Web Therapy, it is very different. Stephen Mangan is a therapist. And because things are going wrong in his life, he decides to launch his own business in which he will conduct his therapy sessions with his clients on his laptop over the Skype or FaceTime or whatever you like to call it. Meanwhile, he's trying to do this living in a chaotic rather lavish, I thought,
it's a
home.
Very lavish.
Very
it's
nice.
A lavish, it's a lavish London
it's
home.
It's a lavish London home, which is populated by his wife, Karen, who is high-flying, played by the great Catherine Parkinson of IT Crowd, mm-hmm. Humans.
I was just going to say, Catherine Parkinson can do no wrong for me apart from Humans.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, she's dead to
but
be
she's
in
she's amazing. She,
Catherine Parkinson has dared to be in a dystopian drama.
Hold on. She's also in a Maltesers advert, and that's excellent.
A non-dystopian Maltesers
yeah.
advert. They've got two teenage kids, Ricky and Izzy, but more than that, their teenage kids seem to have like a gaggle of friends who just hang out at the
oh,
house.
Oh, yeah. Waifs
and
strays.
Presumably because it's such a nice house. Mm. They just want to hang out there. You meet his therapist, who's played by Richard E. Grant, who kind of he has sessions with the therapist on his laptop as well. Okay, just touched me. I don't know why.
Sorry,
just
that's inappropriate.
To
that's
going to
get brought up in the next AGM meeting.
I thought you might have been a grab to stop me from speaking.
No,
so
sorry.
Okay, you've
long.
Just been disciplined about this. Okay.
And the way the format works is, so we kind of see what's going on in the background with this family. It's kind of mostly filmed on his laptop, isn't it? Mm. That's the kind of idea of the show.
It's USP, I think.
That's his USP. Almost like the same way that Peep Show was unique when it started. Mm. I mean, it's all filmed from each other's subjective point of view. So it's got that clever thing. But after a while, you kind of just let that sink in. And then you see his therapy sessions with his clients. And in the first one, there's a very funny one with Sarah Hadland, who is from Miranda.
Yep.
And she was in The Job Lot with Russell Tovey. And she's hysterically funny as this kind of over-the-top, very sweary, very shouty woman who's dealing with a dog and etc.
Two cats, not dogs.
That's what happens. Kate.
Ruddy loved it. Ruddy loved it. Steve Mangan is fantastic as that stressed out father dad. Do you remember he did Bliss?
Yeah.
We reviewed it on this show. He also did, it was in The Split.
Two Lives, yeah. Bliss Two Lives.
Yeah, he was living two lives in Bliss and then in The Split, the Nicola Walker drama. He was also, you know, very stressed out. He's got such an expressive face. Yeah. He's fantastic in that role. So obviously thought he was fantastic, loved him. Richard E. Grant as his therapist is exceptional.
I mean, yeah.
But you mentioned it, you touched upon it briefly, and actually Sarah Hadland was like the star performance in this for me because she is so good as, I think her name is Fiona. She's got issues. She phones him, she Skypes him to discuss it, and it all stems from her childhood where she had very little hair down below and was known as Baldy Tuppence. And what follows, honestly, is so funny that I rewound it twice to watch it again.
Wow, yep. Twice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was.
That's like you listening to the podcast.
It is indeed. Now, I was, you did a little interview with him, didn't you? And I was reading that proof.
We actually took an interview with him. I didn't conduct it myself.
And what I found
in the magazine,
amazing,
you mean in the Heat magazine?
In the Heat
out
magazine.
Today.
Now, what I found amazing, because I read that before I watched it.
Yes.
And in that, it talks about how much actually is improvised.
Yes.
And most of it is improvised.
Mm.
I can't believe it because it's just so funny. I totally agree with you, Kay. Sarah Hadland bit, I mean, that woman is just explosively funny. She's totally brilliant. I don't have enough good things to say about this. I love the format of it. I am a huge, as I've already said, I'm a huge fan of Catherine Parkinson. I really wish they would do another It Crowd, but I can't make that happen because I don't have any power. But I
wish she'd stop doing the bloody dystopian drama and start doing sitcom.
She should. It's really, really funny. And Stephen Mangan, this is him at his best. This is what he does so well, like you said, this kind of character, because he makes you feel stressed, which is...
And don't you love the fact that, because of this haphazard nature of the fact that he's got, like, he does it on this laptop, he's got an abundance of clients that just, like, call in at any time, it allows for so many excellent cameos. And coming up, there's so many more, like, there's Joe Joyner, David Tennant, so many great
cameos.
You see a bit,
they show you a bit at the end where
Celia Imrie, Paul Ritter.
Celia Imrie's his mum, isn't she?
Mum,
from Friday Night Dinner.
She's testing you. Monica Dolan, Conleth Hill, Lolly Adefoke, John McMillan, Alice Lowe, etc.
Charles Dance. Have we mentioned mentioned his dad, Charles Dance? Because he is fantastic.
Yes, it is a brilliant device, isn't it?
To allow them to have the cameo.
Jessica Hines is going to be in it. I have seen the Lucy Kudrow original, and I have to say it's a brilliant adaptation, because the Lucy Kudrow original is kind of fairly basic in terms of she's sitting there in her apartment with a laptop giving sessions, doing that bit. So they've taken that very simple, effective, and it started out as a web show on the web. So you watched it on the internet, and she was...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was clever. And they've taken that kernel of an idea and they've expanded it, but very cleverly, because I think even the stuff in the house is really funny. Like the idea that the kids are hanging out with their mates and won't leave the house.
Yeah.
And he's constantly complaining, telling them to just leave and live their lives. There's funny relationships going on. Like the daughter's having, I think, got three boyfriends maybe and a girlfriend or something. So even all of that stuff and what the teenagers say and how they are and how they behave is really well observed.
Have you mentioned about the element of jeopardy? Did I miss you saying that? About the fact that he owes money.
And he owes money. No, I didn't mention that.
And that's really good, because then it adds a certain tension of, like, he's in debt because of his last failed business, and the guy is kind of trying to collect the money, so he's really stressed out about that. It's got a bit of everything.
Yeah, Carl Theobald's character is the one, he's constantly calling him up on the Skype, asking him when he's going to pay the bloody money. So yeah, you're right, it's got all of these elements. So there's enough for it to be just a really good family sitcom, really.
Yeah, but it's overflowing,
isn't it? Overflowing with goodness, and it's really good. And it's co-written by Stephen Mangan.
Is it?
Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah. Hang-ups. How many stars, Kay?
I'll give it 4.5 stars.
Steph?
4.5 for me.
4.5. I agree.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it begins on the Channel 4, the fourth channel, next Wednesday, the 8th of August at 10 p.m. Do you know what else is on next Wednesday, the 8th of August at 10 p.m, Kay?
What?
Judge Ramesh, as in Ranganathan, as in your mate.
As in friends of the Unmissable Podcast.
Friend of the Unmissable Podcast. I mean, you know, we'll see it when he's on it. We'll believe it when he's here with us, chatting away, as you promised.
Yep, he's coming.
In the meantime, please, God, tell us what on earth this TV format is.
Okay, well, who better to judge over domestic disputes, public beef, than Ramesh Ranganathan?
No,
I think you can agree, no one is better suited.
Only Boyd.
Yeah,
but he didn't
want to
do
Boyd.
It.
He was unavailable, too expensive.
I'm available.
So Judge Ramesh Ranganathan, no legal training whatsoever, but, you know, a discerning eye for what's right and wrong, and obviously a heavy dose of sarcasm. He presides over in his own court. The strapline is in Rom We Trust. Mm-hmm. And he presides over cases that are brought to him from real life people. And he's assisted by Kerry Howard from Him and Her, who is the court clerk. And also by Big Tom Davis, our favourite, who is the bailiff, and who's brilliant because he kind of both winds up the claimant and defendant, but also the public gallery, because it's watched in by a real life audience. And that's the gist of it. Every episode, he'll do a ruling over one or two cases, and hilarity doth ensue.
It's Judge Judy.
It's Judge
Played
Judy.
Played for laughs, isn't
it's
it,
Judge
essentially?
Judy. Yeah.
It's Judge Judy, which in America is a huge phenomenon, cultural phenomenon.
Oh,
isn't
I watch at least two episodes of that every day.
Every day.
Yeah, because I would like, do you know what? I like to watch it before bed.
What?
Do you?
Settles me down.
Settles you down?
Judge Judy, yeah.
Wow.
So quick.
That's a revelation.
They're great.
But it is, isn't it? That's essentially, it's the same format, but totally play for laughs. So it's like, we're doing this thing where people come to us, but they're real life people with real life disputes. Mm.
But Judge Judy is funny as well.
But Judge Judy's not played deliberately for
laughs. I mean, she is an actual judge.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Her rulings are incidentally funny.
Her rulings are final.
Right. But this is meant to be funny.
Yeah.
Did you find... We all enjoyed Ramesh Ranganathan's travels in Thingamabob. Mm-hmm. What was it called?
Misadventures.
That's the one.
With Ramesh of Ramesh Ranganathan.
We all thought that was very good. We reviewed it on this very podcast a few weeks ago. How does this stand up?
I think this is even better. Actually, I enjoyed it more.
Big words.
Yeah, well, because I found the other one interesting and it's very informative. But if you just want to have a laugh, this is kind of a real easy watch, isn't it? And it's like, it's very funny. It's not taxing particularly and it's not distressing in any way because each case is very funny. So like one of the first one is a husband and wife team, aka a marriage couple.
They're calling it these days.
Yeah,
you know.
Teamwork.
That's real wife duo.
And the husband is a prolific bargain hunter and buys a load of shit that they just don't need, and she's had enough of it. And the second case is a two best friends, two guys, and one best friend organised a expensive holiday for them to go on, and the other friend is outraged because actually it turned to be a holiday from hell and a pickup course, like to get women, because the other guy felt like he needed help and he was outraged by that. So it's just purely funny, and I really like it. And it's, do you know what? A lot of improv in this as well, which I liked, and that's what Romesh and both comedians do well. I've just got to tell you the germination of this, where this all came from.
Oh, of course, because you interviewed him recently for Heat
Magazine. I don't want to talk about it. But he said because at school, his little son was involved in a little incident where another boy had like been mean to him and taken something of his son's. And then both sets of parents were called into school to talk about it. And the teacher said, look, unfortunately, it's like he said, so we can't prove anything, you know, so we can't actually, you know, what do you think we should do? Because we can't do anything. And Romesh said that when he got into the car with his wife, Lisa, he was just like, of course you know what to do. You just look at that guy, that other little guy, and look, he looks like a right little prick. So you just rule on the side of my son, who looks, you know, he looks decent and he's obviously telling the truth.
Yeah, if you look innocent, you're innocent. If you look like a murderer, you definitely did it.
And that's how it should work. And so,
allegedly. That's not the right use of that, is it?
Thankfully, in this case, what Romesh judges, and he does actually in one point judge that one of them looks dodgy, isn't legally binding. So we just made that clear.
No, I mean, it's on TV and that stays forever.
Steph, if it was you in charge, you'd insist it would be legally
binding. I would
binding,
do everything in my power.
Yeah, you would judge people with the insistence on the way they look. And
I do, every day of my life.
This is just for comedic purposes.
Yeah, but that's where it came from. And so you thought, I know, that'd make a good, you know.
Yeah, that's a nice story.
Steph, what's your feeling?
The thing for me is that I will watch anything he does, because I think if you're a fan of his specific, I mean, I do, but I will watch anything he does because I just find his brand of humour just he tickles me.
He tickles
not literally, but he does.
It's another HR case.
Yeah, he really does. I love him. I love his sarcasm. Just find him so so funny. The thing about him is you think he's going to say something obviously funny because you think you can kind of guess his humour sometimes, I think. Mm. And then he says something so much funnier. I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but he's
brilliant.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that observation.
You think you go, you know where he's going to go with that. But actually, he's so much more intelligent and funny than you even think he is. He's just brilliant.
He's a professional comedian. But I'm not, I totally thought it was good. No, that sounded more sarcastic.
You had done so well.
Did you think it was a good point?
Definitely. Seriously, thought it was a good point. But it's kind of, that is what he does. That's his stand-up. Do you know what I mean? Like he will. A lot of the topics he does in his stand-up are the kind of topics that people, all kinds of stand-ups cover. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But he does a very good kind of mini dramatic pause, and then says something else.
He takes things further. Yeah. He makes unusual and unexpected observations. I'm totally backing up your point.
Thank you.
For me, the masterstroke of the show. I mean, I agree. What?
Big Tom Davis.
The double.
Yeah,
double
good
stroke.
Double act.
Big Tom Davis and Kerry Howard, because Kerry Howard is a comedic genius as well. She was in Witless. Should we ever review that? These shows on the show, but we haven't. Witless is a very good BBC Three comedy, of which there are two series. I'm sure you can find it on iPlayer or whatever. And she's a brilliant character actress, and she was fantastic in Him and Her as the horrible, despicable sister of the main character. And she's great, Russell Howard's sister, of course. And she's brilliant in this.
Oh, it's Russell Howard's sister.
I didn't know that.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Yeah. Two incredibly funny siblings.
Their parents must have funny bones.
Exactly. So I think the masterstroke is that you've got these three naturally funny people.
All bouncing
in this
off
format,
each other.
Bouncing off each other, as you say, improvising, riffing around these quite well-cast funny people with their funny disputes. And it just really works really well.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't think I've said, it's my fault that it's actually on the Dave channel, which is part of the UK TV family. You know, there's this big UK TV dispute going on with Virgin Media.
No, what is it?
Oh my God, have
they stopped showing Dave on the chat something?
More than that. You got them right as we speak. I mean, it may have been resolved. Who knows? It could be resolved any day now. But as we speak, on this very day, for the last 10 days or so, all of 10 of the UK TV channels, Dave, W, Drama, there's a crimey one. I can't remember what the crime one is.
Alibi?
Alibi.
I was going to say Alibi.
Alibi. Virgin took them all off their platform. What? So if you're a Virgin Media customer, you cannot see any of these channels. I know.
Oh, that is going to... Do you know what that's really problematic for? People who like to watch Murder, She Wrote on Alibi at 7.30.
Of course. But this... That is a real problem. Dave is a brilliant channel. Dave, I watch Dave
Apart
Bradley
from
every
that
night.
Taskmaster thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't like Taskmaster. Most people love Taskmaster.
That was rubbish.
I watch Would I Lie To You literally every night.
Oh, yeah, you do. That's your favourite show.
Favourite show. Anyway... If you're a Virgin Media customer, you cannot get access to any of these
channels.
Why have
you done this?
There's a big dispute. So Virgin says, I mean, it's a whole big thing. I know you won't want me to go into it in too much depth,
well,
but quickly.
A little bit of industry news.
It was good to say, because listeners who have Virgin will be furious. They can't watch this effing show unless they resolve this dispute. So Virgin says, half of their channels are pay TV channels, as in you have to pay extra to have your normal package to get them. Half of them aren't, right? Half of them are free to air and on Freeview. So if you've got, so Virgin's issue, I think, is that they're paying too much for the privilege of having this family of channels, half of which should be free anyway. And they're also annoyed that not you can't do catch up on all of UK TV's programmes. You know how, like, now every single BBC show is available on the iPlayer?
Yeah.
All ITV shows.
Yeah.
They're saying that for some reason, even though if I've got Sky and you can see almost all of them, Virgin has an issue with that. So that's what they say. But they're the ones that got that suddenly wanted to change the contract. Obviously, for years, you could see all these channels. UK TV saying, well, why are you suddenly just changing the rules
this
of the contract?
Do you know what?
So it's a bit of... It's
does
a,
Richard
it's
Branson
really
still own it?
Just about to say, does, Dickie Branson
yeah,
needs
Dick
to get
needs
in.
To get onto this.
I imagine he's a big show.
Come on, Dickie.
Right, everyone, let's start tweeting.
Tweet Dickie, see if he can't sort
anyway,
this whole thing out.
Anyway, if you have got access to Dave on UK TV, you can see Judge Ramesh from Wednesday, the 8th of August at 10 p.m. Same time, annoyingly, as Hangouts, but record one, watch the other. How many stars are we giving Judge Ramesh?
Skay. Skay. Five.
Five?
Yeah, she's going gone straight in straight off.
I'm going to give it five too.
I'm going to give it 4.5.
Why?
Why do you hate Ramesh?
Because we gave Hangouts, you know, which is a lavish, heavily scripted thing, 4.5.
It's a different proposition.
It
you
is completely
hold that
different.
Against
did you
it.
Did it make you laugh?
4.5 is a really good mark. What are you talking about? It's a huge recommendation.
Well,
it's half a mark away from five.
I apologise to everyone involved in that project.
Wow.
I'm really sorry it's not good enough for a five from Boyd.
Also, still apologise to Betty.
Yeah.
Right.
Did I say when it was on? Yes, I did. Yeah, I mean, I've got...
Something about Dave, blah,
fury,
blah, blah.
The fury of not giving it five stars. Wednesday the 8th, in double bills, two episodes per week, you'd be pleased to know.
What a result.
Finally, in the meat, Cardinal... Season 2 of the Canadian crime drama series, which is being known as Cardinal Black Fly Season. It's slightly confusing because it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean like...
Flying ant
it
season.
It means there is a season of Black Fly. That is why it's called
that's
that.
What it's called
yeah,
that
is why it's called that. So it's not just another name for, as in, a second series. It's literally Black Fly Season.
I don't think
subtitle.
Anyone thought that.
No,
I
know.
I think
that's
everyone...
why I'm explaining it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but I don't think anyone thought. I think everyone thought it was Black Fly Season. Like, from Black Fly.
Can I just say something? Sorry, I know, and I'm usually one to say, let's have not have these pointless interjections, but Flying Ant Season is the worst thing ever to happen.
Oh,
ever
we walked home through
in
Flying
Camden.
Ant Season. It was a day. It
2 days
awful.
Later, I was still pulling flies, flying ants
out,
my hair.
Of my hair.
I'm not sure if these are flying ants, by the way.
No, they're,
but they're black flies.
They're black flies,
yeah.
It's completely different.
So I don't know what the relevance is. Yeah.
No, that's why I said it was pointless.
Oh, right.
Okay,
oh,
fine.
So are you giving a pointless injection that you're then going to criticise yourself for? Get annoyed at yourself for?
If we can't self-critique, then who are we? Who are we, people?
Who are we? Now, Steph, this is very much your territory. It's crime.
It involves flies.
And you don't have to read it.
And you don't have to
read
it.
Right up my alley.
What a treat.
Yeah.
Although if we dig deep enough, we could find the Canadian French language version.
Oh, don't dig deep.
So you could read it.
Dig shallow. Okay. I didn't watch the first season of this.
Nor did I.
Which is a crime in itself, but none of us have watched it. I know. Nice.
So we're done?
So when I first saw that we were watching something called Cardinal, I thought it was going to be some sort of papal type thing. But it isn't.
The young Cardinal.
Yeah.
Jude Law.
So it's got a very sexy investigator. Investigator?
Investigator.
A very sexy detective called Cardinal.
Yes.
Who is teamed up with another sexy detective who's a lady. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it seems like they've got a little bit of chemistry going on.
Mm.
I don't know whether they had an affair.
Lise Delorme.
Yeah, Lise Delorme, played by Karine Vanasse.
And he's played by Billy Campbell.
Yeah, what's he been in before?
Well, you recognise him.
From what? Because I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Right,
from
you
the
find
first
out what they're
Cardinal.
In. Anyway, okay, so.
He was in, get this, Dynasty.
I
don't mean
he was in something.
I don't mean the
original.
The original.
Wow. Yeah,
Luke
I knew
Fuller,
he was in
he
something.
He played in Dynasty.
He doesn't look that old.
He was also in the American version of The Killing. He was in the film The Rocketeer.
He was the Rocketeer.
Yes, the Rocketeer.
That's what I watched the other day. I watched Rocketeer the other day. He is the Rocketeer. Mm. You know that?
Yeah.
He is the main guy.
Yeah. He's quite a big star.
That
is
such an underrated film.
In the 90s, 80s, 90s. Yeah.
Such an underrated film. Anyway. Okay, in this, he's a detective. Right. So, confused young woman is found, okay? At the beginning, there's a scene where you see a woman running along and then shots are fired and she gets shot and she falls into the water. Now, you think she's dead. But lo and behold, she turns up at a roadside bar.
She does.
Strange. It is strange. Okay, she doesn't know what's... She doesn't know who she is, how she got there, what the hell's happened. So the police... she's got this lovely red hair. The police pick her up and they take her into custody to find out. She's like, I don't know...
She's behaving strangely.
She's behaving strangely. Yeah. She's saying strange things. And it turns out she's only got a bullet lodged in her head. Poor love. They've got to get that out.
Yeah.
She starts saying strange things when she's having the bullet dislodged.
Which is kind of like, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, hello.
Yeah.
If anything's going to make you strange, yeah. Okay, so... The two, so Cardinal and his sidekick are sidekick. Can I say sidekick? She's a sidekick.
I think so.
They're tasked with finding out what the hell happened to her and protecting her because God knows what's happened. In the background, there's a little bit of a situation with Cardinal's wife who... I didn't watch the first
Mrs.
series.
Cardinal.
So I don't know what's happened, but it seems like she's got issues. She's got manic depression and she's got some issues. So there's some problems in the marital home.
Yeah.
And as I said before, I think there's a lot of chemistry between the old Cardinal and his detective lady.
Lisa and John.
Okay. That's about it, really. I don't want to give anything else away.
No, don't give anything else away. Please, God, don't give anything else away. It's going to be shown in double builds, a six-parter on Saturday night on BBC 4, the big crimey, foreign-y slot, as in The Killing and The Bridge, until it recently moved to BBC 2. How does it stack up? We've reviewed a few of shows in this slot, haven't we? And I've forgotten what they all are. There was a Spanish one that you loved, Kay. What was that one?
Yes, The Night and Day.
That
Night
and Dia.
Or do you mean Sé Quién Eres?
That one.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
There was the
what
one.
A treat. Night
and Dia
was very
like,
good.
The Swedish one with the terrorists in the tube. Do you
remember
that one?
Yes. Oh, yes. That was good. What was that called?
That was good. I can't remember what that was called.
Okay.
And now this one. How does it stack up? Steph.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. And not just because I didn't have to read it.
Lazy.
I thought it was very, very intriguing. Basically, the last 10 minutes are very fast-paced and exciting. And something happens. The correct use of riveting. The correct use of riveting here. Yes, they were very riveting. So if you think it's slightly slow, which it could come off as slightly slow, the last 10 minutes, I think, really save it and will make you want to watch more.
So did you think it was slow until that point?
I did think it was
us?
A bit
did
slow.
You?
I did think it was a bit slow.
God. The kids of today, everything's pacey.
I like things pacey.
The MTV generation.
Also, thanks for calling us kids.
What can I say? I'm very young.
Compared to me, you are.
I'm a young babes. 37.
Do you know what? Now, when it comes to these types of shows now, I can decide within about 5 minutes whether they're going to like it or not. We did Dicta recently. Which is on Channel 4 still, I believe.
Which had rubbish opening credits.
It did. It had quite cheesy
opening
credits. It had quite a kind of basic feel to it. Like, it didn't feel like a lavish, cinematic series. And for me now, the stakes have been raised so high with cinematic television that... If it's not going to be like that, and if it's going to be fairly basic
looking, don't bother.
I won't bother. And if the story feels quite kind of routine, I'm not going to bother. Whereas this, so what I'm saying is, this immediately got me.
Ooh.
I thought they've got a spectacular, beautiful opening with setting this town in Canada, this fictional small town where she gets shot was beautiful, the forest and everything. Really well shot.
Literally shot.
I think the premise got an absolutely compelling premise, the idea that she's been shot in the head, she's got a bullet
lodged
in her brain, and yet she's still functioning and has no memory whatsoever of how that happened, of who did it, and that the police jury then have to, like, as you say, protect her and yet try and at the same time find out what's going on. And as you say, there's this great last 5 minute thing that happens when they're trying to get a lead.
It's probably 5 minutes, not 10, yeah.
And the whole new thing happens in the last 5 minutes just to give you an extra impetus to watch the rest of it. So I'm going to be watching this whole thing Well, I'm convinced. I think it's really good. Okay.
Blimey.
I've actually got it written down. Cinematic, running through the forest scene. I thought it was brilliant, openings scenes. And the only other thing I'd say is that usually I'm the one, when we're watching these detective dramas, say, oh, it's so refreshing when the leads don't have, you know, there's no past history of them, of like them going to get it together and stuff like that. And that's really refreshing. But actually, secret, like, truth be told, I do actually like it when there's a bit of sizzling sexual tension. So I'm very
well, now
into
it's
that.
Become, or gone the other way, isn't it? It's become such a thing, I think, where apart from, of course, the bridge where it did happen, where the two got together. But I think it's almost become a thing where women and men aren't allowed to. It feels like it's a point. Are we not going to have them get together? Whereas it is, as you say, the fact there is sexual tension.
Quite like it. I thought it was interesting as well.
Adds to the rivetingness.
You've overused riveting.
Of course. For comedic purposes.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to give Cardinal Blackfly season 4 stars.
I also am going to give it 4 stars, although, you know, I don't like the black fly in the title.
We don't really know why it's called Black Fly Season yet. That's not explained, is it? We'll find out.
It just reminds me of the flying ants.
Okay.
It's traumatic. Black Fly Season.
Yeah. We'll find out.
I'm going to give it 4.
Okay.
What did you give it?
4, yeah.
What did you give it?
I think we've all given 4. We're all in agreement.
Okay.
You said it as if it was a unique...
If you're not listening, what hope do we have for the listeners?
She'll listen to it. She's got 3 more opportunities. That's right.
I'm just trying to make us consistently the same as we've been throughout this last year and a half.
Cardinal is back. This is season 2 on the BBC 4, Saturday the 4th of August, 9 p.m. Double bill. A lot of double bills happening.
Double
this week.
Bill.
Therein lies the meat. And finally, it's this time.
It's question time.
Now, I don't know if you've looked at the printout I gave you, but the question, as you often do, is often a surprise, last minute surprise.
I looked at it 3/4 of the way through.
I've looked at it and I've got it written down.
Right.
Thanks.
I wrote mine down, but only 3/4 of the way through.
I'm going to come straight to one of you. The question is, inspired by Judge Ramesh, what is the best law-based TV or film thing?
Kay, you don't have it written down. You have written down fuck you all, which is not nice.
What I would say is, first of all, some things aren't meant to be read out loud, right?
And no. But it's in capitals,
but you know,
in large writing.
All
okay,
times.
Transparency was, when they were attacking Betty, I did get a little effed off,
was it
right?
The Betty bit? Do you know what? I was going to have a competition for listeners there. They could have guessed at what point in the recording of this podcast did you say, fuck you
I
all?
I think it was the
did
Betty
you write
bit.
It down,
it tipped me over the edge.
All.
I think it's it
in,
did.
That is in at least 48-point type.
Yeah, Ariel. I know, it was big. And also, do you know what's bad about this? I haven't even spelt fuck right, because in my rage I put Fousey.
Fousey you all.
Fousey you all. Yeah.
If you had said that, we wouldn't need to put the warning on the podcast. The bad language.
I just noticed that as I was like, oh no, I've got that wrong a little bit. Anyway, my answer is written down here, and it is The Good Wife. Predictably, The Good Wife. Yes. I know I'm a bit of a Good Wife bore.
That's becoming your Sherlock.
I know, but it's just so, so good. And Steph... You haven't watched it, have you?
I just
sunk in.
Have you watched Sherlock? No, have you watched The Good Wife?
No.
Please do it, because you will become obsessed with Alicia and all of them.
Do you know what I heard a couple of people saying recently?
If it's going to be about The Good Wife and negative, I'm going to say Fousey, you all.
It's not negative. Some people are saying that the sequel, the spin-off series...
Is better.
What's your feeling about that?
The Good Fight, that's
good
called.
The Good Fight, yeah. With Christine Baranski.
And Rose... Yeah, Leslie.
Yeah,
I would have agreed up until this last season
because
I feel like it was a bit patchy.
Of the good fight.
But it is because she, Diane Lockhart, who is the main character of the spin-off,
Baranski,
is exceptional. She's my CJ Craig, so I do get that.
She's your CJ Craig. Mm. I thought CJ Craig was your CJ Craig.
Yeah, my second CJ Craig. Okay. We've got to have two. What happens if something happens
to
the first one?
From West Wing, in case people don't know who that is.
Of course.
You should know that.
The greatest character in the history of television.
Okay. Mm. Yes.
Steph, who is your favourite law-based TV or film thing?
Okay, I am going to say one of my favourite films. I mean, this is a really hard question for me because I love a lot of law-based things.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever talked about this film. Sandra Bullock and Matthew McConaughey, A Time to Kill.
Yeah, you've talked about that before.
Have I?
No.
Have you seen this film?
Of course. From a John Grisham novel, I believe.
This was, right... Now, we've talked before about how Matthew McConaughey had a little bit of a dip in the romantic comedy years.
Big dip,
okay.
Big dip.
Had he stuck to the road, when he did A Time to Kill, he's absolutely brilliant as a lawyer in A Time to Kill. So it's set in the South South.
Set in the South, which is
other known as the Deep
which
South.
Which is opposite of the North North.
Yeah.
And it's basically a story, it's got Samuel L. Jackson in it. His daughter gets raped by some Ku Klux Klansmen. It's light.
Cheery.
Yeah. And
I'll definitely be downloading that tonight.
And then he takes his revenge and kills one of them when they get acquitted for raping his daughter. And then Matthew McConaughey basically takes on the case for Samuel L. Jackson, accompanied by Sandra Bullock. Had he stuck down that path, he would have got to his Oscars sooner instead of having the small
diver. You'd have been his agent.
To this romantic comedy, because yeah. he's absolutely brilliant in that film.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, you should watch it, because also it's got Sandra Bullock in it. She's fantastic.
I enjoyed that film. It's a good film.
It's a great film.
However, it's nowhere near as good as the all-time classic courtroom drama
film,
The Verdict.
That is a great film.
Starring Paul Newman.
Yeah, that is a great film. And I only watched that the other day.
Directed by Sidney Lumet. It is on Sky Cinema.
That's what I was going to say. I watched it the other day.
And it's another.
It's on there.
I watched it again as well. And that's probably about the 20th time I've seen it.
Oh, I've never seen it before.
So it's another one of my films that I watch regularly.
Yeah.
And I watched it in the cinema when it came out. I'm that old.
Oh, wow. You're
I'm not even going to check when it came out, but I think it came out.
God,
about
80 years ago.
1802.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'll never forget it. I loved it then. It's got one of the best kind of courtroom drama. Not twist, just dramatic moments.
It's very
good.
I mean? Yeah. I really enjoyed
and
it.
And it's all about Paul Newman's defending this, you know, this very. Are you looking at your watch?
Do you know what? She's got a little bite.
I've been bitten in here.
Okay. Oh. Probably by a black fly.
Anyway, I think it's the greatest courtroom drama in film history.
Well, it's not, because what I said was.
No. But I'm also going to quickly sneak in another one. The funniest.
It's not allowed.
Courtroom drama in history is My Cousin Vinny.
Haven't seen him.
Oh my God, you've got to see My Cousin Vinny. With
well,
Joe
you just
Pesci.
Said that, you just said that about the last one. Which one shall
no,
I prioritize?
No. So the best. Okay, well, if it turns, if you're in a mood for comedy, always. My Cousin Vinny, Marisa Tomei, and Joe Pesci. And if you ever watch Seinfeld, you know there's a whole episode of Seinfeld revolving around George wanting to date Marisa Tomei. It's all about My Cousin Vinny. It's hilarious. If you want the most dramatic, brilliant, and moving courtroom drama of all time, The Verdict. Those are my two.
Hold on a minute, though. Do you know what we haven't mentioned, which is a great courtroom drama? What's it called, with Tom Cruise?
Well, the fact that you can't mention it.
Jerry Maguire.
What's
the
it
firm.
Called? No, the one, I Want the Truth. You Can't Handle the Truth.
Oh, A Few that? Good Men.
A Few Good Men.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
A Few Good Men.
Come
great.
On.
Okay, I'm going to give you that. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Okay. There's a lot of good courtroom.
What I would just like to reestablish at some point is the rules
that's
of question
amazing.
Time when you just have one choice. They're still
Armistead,
talking.
Is that, that's the one with...
about the slavery.
Yeah, that's a great... With Anthony Hopkins in that, isn't it? Isn't
yeah,
he?
I think so, yeah.
That's great.
I think John Dan might be writing down... No, 12 Angry Men is on Dan's.
Oh, 12 Angry Men, great.
I mean, he's
also
probably
great.
Right in that. That is better.
At some
which
point...
Which is also, I think, directed by Sidney Lumet, maybe? Not sure. Anyway, Kay, at some point, was about to say at some point we should stop this podcast. Is that what you're going
to
say?
No, I just want to, you know...
We
should
wants
wrap
to
it up.
To the bite.
Look.
It's actually getting bigger.
I know.
Oh my God, do you remember when you were younger and they said if you had like a little bite, actually it was like a spider bite and then loads of baby spiders would come out.
Oh my God,
I think that's what you've got.
That is terrifying.
Just saying. Fussy
what note to end on? If I'm not here next week, guys, I just want to say...
But do you remember that? Do you remember that?
What do you want to say? Fussy you all.
Fussy you all.
Yeah, fussy you all. And also, before we go, I'd just like to dedicate this episode to Betty.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, me too, Betty.
thank you very much for enduring our petty squabbling and general foolishness. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Is it a goodbye from
me?
From you? Okay.
It's a goodbye from me.
Guess what? It's a goodbye from me too.
It's a maybe see you next week.
It's
me.
A foo see you all from Kay.
See you all.
Bye.